Afternoons with Georgia Steins.
Well, if you've lived in Canberra long enough, you know obviously that our winters can get pretty cold and you can have a fair amount of frost. I guess for gardeners, particularly if you're a newer garden, it can be a bit daunting, particularly if you're not sure what will survive. But not only will some things survive, but some actually do pretty well into Canberra in Canberra conditions. They might even taste that bit sweeter if we have a pretty frosty winter. One person who knows very well about gardening here and is joining us today for Homegrown is Fiona Buning. She grows fresh herbs and microgreens at Ainslie Urban Farm. Hello to you.
Good afternoon, Georgia.
Is this your favourite time of year, or what is your favourite when it comes to growing?
Oh, it's hard to know. The nice thing about winter is if you've planned your garden, winter in Canberra is nature's refrigerator. And so a lot of the produce that you've got, it just stores in the garden and you just harvest it as required and you have a bit of a rest from all the hard work.
It's so true, because there's certain things that I had that looked great like about a week ago and I haven't got to them and they're still fine.
Yeah.
As opposed to other times of the year like summer, they get overripe or something eats them.
That's it. The zucchinis get away and become cricket bats.
They become weapons. That's exactly right. Or the tomatoes rot, or a possum or something helps themselves. I find that the wildlife aren't as active with my garden at this time of year either.
Yeah, that could be true. For some reason, we don't have a big problem with possums in our garden.
Maybe they're not fans of microgreens.
Maybe. Maybe there's just too many dogs in the neighbourhood.
Maybe that as well. So what are some of the things that you love to grow at this time of year? And I should tell people, you've come in like with so many baskets of beautiful things. What are your main winter crops?
Okay, so at the moment we are harvesting quite a lot of things. So I'll just give you the list and then I'll tell you what my favourite is. So at the moment we are growing kale, cabbage, broccoli, tatsoi, spinach, rocket, mitsuna, lots of varieties of lettuce, carrots, beetroot and fennel. In terms of my favourite, I think it's the carrots and the beetroots because we actually plant them in November. So by time the weather gets cool, they are fully developed and then we wait until after the first frost before we start eating them, because the frost stimulates the conversion of stored starches to sugars and so they taste much sweeter.
And a grown sweet carrot is nothing like what you get in the shop, is it?
Yeah, they're really delicious.
Yeah, do just eat them like without having to cook or anything. So this is the other thing, the planning, and that's exactly right. It's knowing when to plant what, because it's too late often when you see them in the shops, the seedlings, I think, here in Canberra.
Yes, I think you really, if you want to have a good garden in winter, my suggestion is plant it in summer or even now, because the great thing about winter is it's a good time for a bit of inward reflection and planning what you want to do in the garden for the next year. So if you grow things from seed, it's the time of year you can look at your seed stores and work out what you need to order. You can actually make a bed plan for your garden. Probably the hardest thing in this climate is you actually need to allocate bed space for your winter vegetables in summer, which means you need quite a lot of space, because a lot of the crops that you eat in winter take quite a long time to grow.
You also need to, you need to work out what you want to grow and what you'll actually eat. Because I think many of us have made that, I've definitely done that before, I just decide to grow all this stuff and you just don't have the space for it.
Exactly.
But also you sometimes buy stuff that might look pretty on the packet, but, you know, you might not want to eat 5 kilos of beetroot.
That's it.
Or maybe you would. But many people wouldn't. Yeah. And what about soil prep? When would you do that for winter crops?
Okay, so soil preparation is something you can really do all year round. I suppose we have a couple of mantras with our soil work. The first thing is never have bare soil. So always have your soil covered with something, like ideally with something with a living root in it, so something that's growing. But even covering your soil surface with mulch, it actually just prevents nutrients being oxidised and lost.
So do you almost never have a bare bed then?
That's what we do. We don't have a bare bed. So, for example, we cleared a bed fairly recently and we just sowed it with some old seed, a mix of old vegetable seed, which we're using as a green manure crop, and we planted some broad beans and some peas.
And the rationale behind that is why? So the soil...
Okay, so there's a few reasons. Probably one of the most important things is by having a living root in the soil at all times, you are providing an environment for the soil microbes, so the fungi and the bacteria, to live, which interact with the plant roots, because it's been shown that up to 80% of plant nutrients are actually provided by the soil life that lives in association with the roots. So keeping the environment such that they like to live is actually going to be better for your healthy plants.
And do you ever let yours self-sow, or do you normally then go back?
Well, we do get a lot of self-seeding. So, for example, we never actually plant potatoes. They just turn up. We do get a lot of leafy greens turning up. Today, I actually noticed a couple of daikon radish growing in my greenhouse in the gravel under the benches. So we do get quite a lot of that. But because we grow a lot of food, we do tend to have a certain crop growing in a bed, and when it's finished, we put our rabbits onto the garden bed. And that's actually the other kind of soil prep we do, is we actually use our rabbits. So they are outside rabbits, and their hutch is the same size as the garden bed. So when a crop is finished, they go on it, they eat the spent veggies, they poop, they dig, they kind of do a lot of the garden prep for us.
Which is so handy. And the thing about rabbits too is that people might not know the pellets, because it's not like with chicken poo where you have to age it.
Yes, it's because they're herbivores, and because of their gut, their poop is just fine straight on the garden bed.
Yeah, we've got a couple of rabbits. Ours are indoor rabbits, although I'd like them to be outdoor rabbits. I like your plan. but I collect their poo and put it on the garden, and I've noticed a big difference on the veggie garden.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. So you actually put their hutch onto it?
Yes. So we have a movable hutch that's a metre wide, and our bed width is 1 metre. So that's actually a really important part of our soil preparation. Mm. And then the other thing is composting. So at this time of year, if you've been collecting autumn leaves, that's a really great thing to add to your food scraps to make really nice compost, because the brown leaves are the carbon rich component and your vegetable scraps are rich in things like nitrogen. Mm. So it makes a really good mix for making some compost.
When you're choosing what winter crops, so we talked about making sure you're going to eat them, which sounds silly, but you know, you can go overboard and not be able to get through it. A little bit different for you because yours is a business,
yep,
as opposed to just feeding your immediate family. But when people are choosing, I guess, what types to grow, so you can have carrots, but there's all different types of carrots.
Exactly.
Do some grow better here than others, have you found?
Definitely. So what I've been doing over the last few years is working out which varieties seem to grow best in Canberra, and I do share that information over social media because I'd like to see as many people growing veggies as possible. But yeah, definitely selecting varieties that go well in the home garden and things that you want to eat. And the great thing about growing a large variety of vegetables is if you have a crop failure, which does happen from time to time, you've actually got plenty of other things that you can eat. So you're not putting all your eggs in one basket.
You've got a lot. So there's a lot of leafy greens are good at this time of year, yep, and salad. Can you keep planting them now?
Okay, so I did just check my plant diary before I came, and the last planting that we did in our garden was on the 18th of April. And that was our leafy greens. So that was rocket and mitsuna and lettuce seedlings that we planted. And then very shortly after planting them out, we actually put a cover over them. So that's a really important strategy for Canberra, is using covers. You can call them like tunnels or caterpillars, but basically you use metal rods kind of in the soil and then insert a piece of polypipe in a hoop over each piece, yeah, of metal. And then you use horticultural plastic and clips to create a plastic tunnel over your bed. And that changes the environment by at least 5 degrees. So what you'll notice if you do the tunnels, when there's a frost and everything is frozen outside, the greens in the tunnel will not be frozen. So it works like a mini greenhouse over your crops. So we use that for certain things and it extends the season. Yeah. In terms of actually planting things now, the limit is actually day length, because around the 20th of May, we enter what's called the Persephone period, where the number of daylight hours gets below 10 hours a day and plants need light to grow. And that's one of the main limits to plant growth in winter in Canberra. It is also the soil temperature, but it is also this daylight hours. So we do plant peas and broad beans in May. The thing you can plant in June is you can plant onions, like seedlings, because if you just remember, plant onions on the shortest day and harvest on the longest day, that's approximately what you do for onions.
Does that include like spring onion or like, you know, spring onions or walking onions or all those other sorts of,
They're pretty flexible in terms of the time of year that you can plant those. But yeah, the main limit is actually the number of daylight hours. And that's the other thing that can happen if you plant your, say, your brassicas and your long growing crops a bit too late. They sit there and do nothing in winter. And then in spring, as the days get longer, they actually can go to flower and kind of bypass that stage where they're really good to eat.
Yeah.
So working with day length is a pretty important part of the planning.
Yeah, definitely. And so you were saying you checked your planting. Is it guide? Is that just one that you've created for yourself?
Okay. So the actual planting calendar that I use is one that was given to me by Joyce Wilkie from All Sun Farm, who has been my mentor for many years. She's an amazing grower. And so actually on her website, you can get the planting calendar for free. It's just All Sun Farm.
Which, and I think Canberra Organic Gardeners do a similar one.
Yeah, they have a calendar as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's good. It is good to know. And I guess it's not necessarily a hard and fast rule, but it's around that, isn't it?
You know, I think it's a really good idea. The thing I like about this system is I have each month's planting on an index card.
Mm.
And I remember Joyce said to me years ago, plant once a month and you'll eat all year. And it's a really lovely thing to remember is if you plant just one thing every month, you'll always have something in your garden that you can eat. And having a monthly planting guide means there's less pressure. Like if you know that in February you're going to plant X, Y, and Z, you've got 4 weeks to do it. You don't have to stress that you have to do it in this particular week. So I find it works well for me.
Yeah. And there's also, I guess, the other thing too is staggering it. Not necessarily planting them all on the 1 week. Is that what you do? You stagger your plantings?
Definitely with some things. So you can kind of divide your crops into things that you plant once a year. So we only plant carrots and beetroot once a year and we harvest them all through winter and early spring and then that's it. Brassicas we generally plant once a year. Leafy greens we're planting very frequently. So it really does depend on the crop. But I think if you've never grown something before, a good way to start is just think of one thing that you would like to eat from your garden and focus on that. So a few years ago, we decided we weren't ever going to buy leafy greens because the quality of what you can buy was not to our satisfaction.
Yep.
And it really helped us having this goal. We are always going to have lettuce to the point where I'm quite obsessed with lettuce.
It looks pretty. I actually had to resist the urge to lean over the desk and eat some of the stuff.
Oh, yeah, here we go. The mini cos is beautiful.
Yeah, they're very cute mini cos. Yeah. If people want to find out a little bit more about what you do at Ainslie Urban Farm, you're on Facebook, aren't you? Or
I have an Instagram page, and I do. The vegetable growing is not part of the business, it's just what we do for us. Mm. And I just am trying to share as much information as possible there so people can go, oh, okay, this is what I do.
This is what I can do as well. Thank you so much for your time.
It's a pleasure.
I really appreciate it.